I would like to read three scriptures. The first one is the book of Exodus and chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now the second book of Kings, chapter 6, Second Kings 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord in whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." Right towards the end, verse 17. And the king appointed the lord in whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eye, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Now over to the New Testament, to the book of the Acts, chapter 27. This is Paul and his ship going to Rome. And we'll cut in at verse 16. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used help, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And that's all we need. We trust the Lord that a blessing to the reading of His Word, and help us to preach the gospel faithfully from these scriptures that we have read. The way they link themselves in my mind is very simply like this. In Exodus chapter 5, we have read of a man who did not believe in God. Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey him? He did not believe in God, and he perished. In 2 Kings chapter 7, we have read of a man who believed in God, but he did not believe God. Now, there's a vast difference, and he perished also. But when we come to Acts chapter 27, we have read of a man who believed in God, and a man who believed God, and that's what salvation is. We trust it might register in the hearts of the unsaved in this gathering tonight. That salvation is taking God at His word, resting one's soul upon it for the great eternity. Now, Exodus chapter 5, this King Pharaoh did not believe in God. He said, Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Now, we are living in a world tonight, and there are many who confess that they do not believe in God. They say that there is no God. Well, that was just like Pharaoh. A person might hide God from themselves, but they can never hide from God. Pharaoh tried to hide God from himself, but before Pharaoh entered eternity, he had met God by the plagues that God sent and the experiences in his life. You see, it's a very upsetting thing to believe in God and believe the Word of God, what it teaches, because it bothers people to think of sin and the consequences of sin and the outcome. There's nobody likes to think that there's a possibility that I could be in hell forever. So they tried to hide the thought of hell from their mind. Well, you may hide God from yourself. You may try to hide the reality of hell from your mind. But that doesn't say they don't exist. Pharaoh found out that the living God existed and that he had to do with him. And friend, you are going to find out. Well, did Amos the prophet say, Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, there have been men who have lived in this world, and they have preached, No God. 6 feet of earth, that's it. Voltaire was one of them. Whenever he came to the end of his life, after standing before a large congregation, he said, "Show me the hair in the palm of my hand, and I show you a Christian." That's the boast of man. When Voltaire came to face eternity, as he was soon to go over and take his exit from time, it was a different matter. He said, "I wish I had never been born." And the Bible teaches us it would have been far better for him never to have been born than to die in his sin and awaken in hell. A man by the name of Thomas Paine, another infidel, so-called, when he came to the end of his life, he said, "It is easier to live without salvation and Christ than to die without salvation and Christ." It is easier to live without Christ. But whenever it comes to right to the very end and about to cross over, that's whenever it strikes home. You and I don't know how close we are to eternity tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3. David was conscious when he said, "There is but a step between me and death." Now that's far, not very far from eternity. For those who are saved in this gathering tonight, a step out of time into eternity would be a step into heaven. Thank God. But those who are not saved, if that step should cross your pathway, and you took that step tonight without a Savior, it would be a step into hell. Do you believe it? Is that true? Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" A big Pharaoh and a small God. But before God had finished with Pharaoh, as he chased Israel and went into the Red Sea, there he perished. And every person who doesn't believe in God is going to perish according to God's word. We read in 2 Kings chapter 7, here's a man who heard a message from God. Tomorrow, food was going to be very cheap. He said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, make such a thing be. He believed in God. He knew there was a God. But yet, he did not believe God. And that was his destruction. My friend, if you don't believe God, it's going to be your destruction. We see in this man unbelief. Or you say, "I believe God, and I believe in God." Are you saved? No. Something wrong. The person that believes in God, and the person that believes God, they've got God's salvation. This man looked upon it very lightly. Doesn't matter what God says. I don't think that that's going to be the price tomorrow. The prophet said, "You'll see it with your eyes, but you'll not eat thereof." The next day, four leprous men left the camp outside the city. They were outside the city. They said, "If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. Our only hope is go to the camp of Syria. They might save us alive. That's our only hope." When they went, the place was vacated. They had all fled and left all their belongings behind. They helped themselves. And then they said, "This is a day of good tidings." And then, "This is a day of good tidings." What's the good tidings? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, in Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the news spread as they went back to Samaria, and the people rushed out. The man with the Lord who spoke glibly of the prophecy the prophet made, he got his job at the gate, and the people in their rush trampled him to death. He saw it with his eyes, but he never tasted the rod. He believed in God, but he did not believe God, and he perished. Unbelief is the soul-damning sin that will sink the sinner in the everlasting burning. I would like to come to Acts chapter 27. Here's a man who believed in God. Here's a man who believed God, and that meant salvation. Paul and his company in a little ship. There it was, tossed in the sea, that great wind called Euroclydon. And no stars, no moon, no sun. Many days. And they came to this point. All hope was gone. They had thrown out the tackling of the ship. They had thrown out other contents of the ship to lighten it, to try to get somewhere to land. But all seemed to no avail. That's just a picture of the sinner. Whenever a soul comes to that point, all hope is gone. 42 years ago, I was there. I was brought up in a Christian home. I knew John 3:16 from my very earliest time. I tried to believe it. I waited for a feeling to assure me I was saved. Never got it. Thank God I haven't got it yet. I've got something better than a feeling. Our feelings change. Feelings come. Feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. They were on the little ship, being tossed about. All hope of being saved was gone. After I had tried all my sources, all the ways that I thought that a sinner could get saved, and I couldn't get saved, and I wasn't saved, I gave up. I said, there's no salvation for me. All hope is gone. Were you ever there? Or are you still trying to be saved? Are you still trying to believe it? But Paul went into the presence of God, and he came out and he said to these men and the crew of that ship, sirs, be of good cheer. He had been speaking to God. God had told him there was going to be no loss of any man's life, but of the ship. What did Paul say? He says, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Was that salvation to him and the crew and the people on board? Every one of them. And that's what salvation is tonight. Paul had faith and trust in what God had told him without a doubt. And there's where the sinner can rest. John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Many a soul has said, well, I believe in the Son, but I don't have everlasting life. Is that believing on the Son? Is that taking God's record that Christ upon the cross at Calvary, he died for me, he died for my sin, that I might be set free? David Hunt and I had meetings in a tent 3 or 4 years ago in North Sydney in Nova Scotia. The man and his wife attended those meetings. The wife got saved one Thursday at noon, reading Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Her husband came and told us that afternoon. He says Judy's got saved. And he says she's really got it. He said, well, how do you know? He says, I see such a change in her already. And he wasn't saved himself. A couple of nights later, or 3 nights later, he came to the back of the tent, all smiling. And he had his Bible. He said, man, I've got saved. He said, very good, Melvin. That's why we're here. We're here to preach the gospel that you might get saved. Well, he says, I'm saved. I said, how'd you get saved, Melvin? He put his Bible up. He says, I have strong faith. Uh-huh. But how did you get saved? Why, he says, I have strong faith. He says, Melvin, I could have strong faith in a rotten plank, gone over a deep gorge or a river, and it's going to let me down. Is it your faith or the plank that would take you across? Oh, he said it would be the plank. But he says, I have strong faith. You see, every person is saved. They've got Christ. Have you got Christ? You may have strong faith. That's not salvation. Salvation's in Christ. Simeon said, mine eye. I've seen thy salvation. Did he see faith? No. He saw a person. He saw the Lord Jesus. That's salvation. Well, I said, Melvin, make sure it's for eternity. We were asked in for a cup of tea to the house next door where the tent was. And there was a couple there who were in the assembly were asked also. And they were sitting whenever we went in. And this brother said to me, did Melvin Bunnell get saved? Well, I said, he says he did, but I don't think he's saved. He says, who are you to judge whether he's saved or not? Well, I said, all I know, every person that's saved has got Christ. They can have everything else. If they don't have Christ, they've got nothing for eternity. Let me ask each one kindly in our meeting tonight. Have you got Christ? You see, it's not a story. Salvation's a reality. When the sinner's linked to the Savior, by faith. I went home that night, about 11 o'clock. The hostess where I was staying said to me, as soon as I went in the door, did Melvin Bunnell get saved tonight? Well, I said, he told me he did. But she says, you don't think so. I says, you're right, I don't think so. But she says, who are you to judge? I says, not very much. So I told her the same story. The next night in the meeting, the 10th, Melvin came. Judy's wife wasn't with him. And he sat halfway up, right beside the side of the tent. The wind was blowing a little. The old tent was slopping. But my hostess came in. And she ran up behind him. She put her hand on his shoulder. Oh, she says, we're so glad to hear you get saved. Well, he just sat there, no smile. We preached the gospel. And he came up to the back of the tent that night. He says, man, I'm not saved. And I'm not coming back. He said, if that tent side had gone up a little more, I'd have been out underneath it and gone. He says, I'm finished with the gospel for 3 months. I'm going to give it a rest for 3 months. I said, Melvin, You could be in eternity in 3 months. He said, that's right. I said, we'll be around to see you a little later. He works for the Nova Scotia Power Corporation in the Hydro. He was on call that night. He went home. As soon as he went through the door, the telephone rang. They wanted him to go to fix some outage. They told him he wasn't going. David Hunt and I went. David told him how he could shave. I told him how I could shave. And he still wasn't saved. But about 12:30, he was reading John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now he says, I can see clearly. I have heard the word of God. It has spoken to my soul. He says, I believe God sent his son to die for me on the cross. He says, I believe that with all my heart. Hath everlasting life. He says, I haven't got it. I said, Melvin, is it just a half of the verse true that you can believe? He read it again. A smile came over his face. He says, I believe it all. I've got it. For God sent it. Ah, friend, tonight, it's not strong faith. How did he get saved? He believed God. He believed in God, and he believed God. Would you believe him tonight? Would you stake your whole eternity on the Word of God? For we're born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.